Good morning. This is Pastor Fearing. Our first speaker this morning is Michael Sanchez from Clark, South Dakota. He's a third-generation martial artist. He is a grandmaster in Taekwondo and a master in Hapkido. Michael comes and shares a testimony how he met Jesus Christ, and he gives some background by going some details about his life. I know you'll be blessed, so listen closely. Michael has a little bit of an accent. God bless you, and have a great day.
I born in New York City. My papa is the Army, USA. But I grew up in Puerto Rico. It's a small island, but they have 4.5 million people there. So bad. Me and Sonia, we are friends for years. We grew up together, the brothers, my wife, Sonia. This is a place, one of the worst places in Puerto Rico. Like when I apply for a job, and I say, I'm from here. Oh, you know, it's a bad place. It's a, you guys help me, projects? Buildings? Projects?
Projects.
Okay, projects, building. We grew up. And then 10 years, when I living there, I was playing car. My friends, this guy come to car. I don't want to give details because kids are around here. He killed a guy in my own face, 10 years. All the blood spilled on my pants, everything. It was not fun. But the Lord was with me. Mama, it was a Christian. You know, we heard you got all the family, a black sheep in the family, one of the brother or cousin, whatever. I was the black sheep in the family. Mama, she's a former,
okay.
A former missionary of St. Thomas. But I don't want to be one, Lord. And that place growing up, me time, it was rough. I always a punching bag. Come to eyes, black eyes, brutal nose, oh, bad place. And so I go back to New York, my uncle's a former instructor of martial arts, the police department in New York City. And he teach me some basic stuff, come back to Puerto Rico and continue doing Taekwondo. In the meantime, growing up, everything around me, everything, is who's not one. Everything around me, it was not good. We saw people stick the needles there. We saw people smoking crack. Oh, preacher man. It was my studio.
One time.
Anyway. And mama take me to the church we call, you help me, Pastor? Legalis? Legalistic church. And that's when I started hate Christian. Hate Pentecostal people. Oh, man. There you go. There's a Pharisee, mommy? Pharisees. These Pharisees now are going to condemn me now about karate, areas and stuff. And I just continue training, competing, and do okay. After one day, I qualified to the national team of Puerto Rico. And that's where all my life starting be awesome and grateful. But grateful in one part, fun to travel different countries, South America, but not fun come back with black eyes and bruise. But the funny part is, every time I go to this country, Costa Rica, Panama, any place, somebody come tell me in Spanish, hey amigo, muy buen, very good, but Jesus love you. And I say, oh man, there you go. That's my mom praying. And I go, Panama. Competing. A guy no more. Good job. Jesus love you. You say, Jesus te ama. And I say, any place that I go, that happened to me. Continue life. Latino, we like parties mean dance for us. I love salsa. I was a salsa dancer. I love salsa and all that kind of stuff. One day we were playing bongos at midnight. We like the drums and we sing. And this airplane come close to the coast, Puerto Rico in the north side and close to San Juan. It throws something in the ocean. I don't know what that is. I said, ooh, must be from Colombia. They throw something there. The speedboat come faster. Get close there. But right there, show off the Coast Guard. And they had a big machine, M50, M60, whatever you call. They started shooting each other. And all the bullets, I was right here at palm tree. All the bullets go through the palm tree right there. No one bullet touched me. Hallelujah. Because the Lord was with me. Hallelujah. 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 Señor. One day I was driving the car. The beautiful Le Sabre. I got a beautiful Le Sabre, my first car, I think. Second car. Le Sabre. Le Sabre. Beauty. And as rush hour there, the car stop. I crash the car. A lot of cars going. And this scooped Japanese car come. And almost going to get me right there. About 80 miles an hour. I don't know what happened. The car moved around. And Puerto Rico is a lot of poor country house because the hurricanes. And they got ray bars in the windows. That car go through there and kill those guys. But I had no scratch. Hallelujah. One day, hallelujah, Christ, hallelujah. Woo! Santo Dios. One day I was driving the car with friends. One of my friends, we go to a salsa dance party. We come back and driving. The guy was driving with his knee, with the wheel, with the knee. Make a joint. And the old guy say, hey, suave. And he got nervous. And he driving like an 80 in the interstate. He pulled the wheel. The car started spinning. He hit the bridge as a cliff. The car, boom, stopped there, matching like this. We all get out, break the window. We say we get out, but the cars go match. Never blow up. And say, we safe. Hallelujah. One day it was going with the friends. Those two bands guys have an argument. They're fighting each other. And we're there, right there in the bad moment. Right there, they're starting to shoot that guy from that guy. Like five guys with AK-47. Boom, 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 boom. And shoot each other. Starting to kill each other. They fall on the floor. And I was there and I was... And my knee froze up. I cannot jump because you're gonna, oh, I can do this, I can do that. No, my knee locked, like I can do nothing. Like, and the guy pushed me. And after everything happened, I was looking. Nothing happened to me. Continue that. One day, this guy was arguing, old guy. For any reason, I know the guy that grew up with me. And they were arguing, fighting. And I was like this in the corner there. And I was seeing. And he got a 9mm right there. He killed him. They always call me Sanchez. My last name is Sanchez. Sanchez! Venga acá! Say, help me put the body in the trunk. No, I'm not going to touch him. Did you kill it? I'm not going to touch that. Oh, you going to help me now? Oh, got me too. And he pointed me. Oh. I said, oh man, Dios mío. I said, oh God, help me, you know. He said, I'm not going to touch, but I just closed my eyes. And he's standing shaking. He said, get out of here. It's your lucky night. But it was not lucky. It was Lord, help me. Amen. Hallelujah. So, but that was how the word stubborn. How you say stubborn? Don't listen. How you call English the word? Stubborn.
Stubborn.
I was number one. Stubborn. Mama. Cry all the time. Son, Jesus Christ is awesome. And I said, Mom, you know, I respect God. And I have fear for God. But, you know, we have like this. Can see? I can see a little bit. Because I respect Lord. But I don't look the size. I just want to stay there. Mama say, if you can use all that talent of Taekwondo, all those people follow even Taekwondo country to Lord, to bring to Christ. They say, how? I don't know. Told people, hey, come to Christ. Come to Christ? How am I going to do that? How am I going to do that? And they say, Mama always crying and she's praying. She says, one day the Lord going to bring you in the good way or the bad way, but you believe for God. And they say, okay, Mom. Continue. Meantime, met the mother of my son. She bring me, the mother of my son, she was my girlfriend a long time back, and she bring me to Clark, South Dakota. You say, Clark, South Dakota. I grew up in a big city, you know, 4.5 million people in Clark, South Dakota. Moved there, I was in shock. Where's McDonald's? No Burger King. But then I started getting nervous, you know. We all respect everybody here. I don't see color guy. And my heart started in blue. Uh-oh, no, but dark guy in around here. Uh-oh, I'm in the wrong place. Oh, I started to sweat. Oh. But then I see that McCain's, potato McCain's, whatever they call, McCain's, feel Mexican. I was, I feel good now. I feel good. But people treat me good, and I would say, wow, this place is awesome, you know. But the winter coming, not so bad. The white stuff is going to kill me. I want to get out of here. It's too cold. You know, 80 around, 85 around year, Tropical Island. You go Tropical, never see snow. We're on the beach and swimming, and you go and walk to the freezer. It's tough. But the Lord had a plan with me. He got a plan in my life. I don't want to listen. I continue to do Taekwondo, open my club, and starting holds one of the biggest, today is one of the biggest tournaments in South Dakota, including Sioux Falls, Rapid City, because we bring the team from Puerto Rico and Mexico, and everybody wants to challenge each other. It's kind of fun, you know, in the sport way, not the cage, you know, the Taekwondo sport. And I continued training and visit the church, but come to the church and sit down and listen to preacher. Hey, man. That was okay. But, you know, but God's church and commitment with God and have a relationship with the Lord is different. Amen. It's total different. Yeah. Listen, hey, man. But do what he wants. That's a challenge sometimes. People say, I have to take all of this, I have this. But that is the key, commitment to God. Get his heart for him. But I still starving, don't want to listen to God. And I go visit different church, Baptist church, to listen. But somebody here, you can run, but you cannot hide from God. And they say, oh, man, there you go. I go to Clarkson Boy God Church. The preaching man, the preaching janitor. I don't know, but somebody here has been running from God. I go here in church, Latino here in church, in Spanish. They say, corre, corre. I mean, run, you run. But you can hide from God. I go to Watertown Church, the Highway 20. Is a Pentecostal church there. The same thing. You can run, you can hide from God. I go to Puerto Rico Church with friends. You can run, you can hide from God. It's about 8 times. He said, man, why? Why me? Why me? A lot of friends told me, all that stuff, Taekwondo, all those people follow you in sports. They can surrender to God, but you have to do the first step. And they say, yeah. And think about it. Oh. Last year, a couple years ago, I started to do with my friends together MMA. In my gym, my studio, I got a studio. My mom said, don't do it. Don't do it. Stick with Taekwondo, kickboxing, help people. Don't bring more violence to you. Have fun, but don't bring that stuff into you. And say, ah, mama, you're a superstition. We have a test. We have a friend of mine. His name is Jaron Stokin. He's the one who killed that guy a couple years in the Watertown in the Harvard Bar. Remember that you heard? A couple years in the Watertown. He was my right-hand helper. Taekwondo there. And Larry and Master Hackens know very well. We all train together. And that night, that same night, he was with me. We're testing for color belts, the kids. And he said, let's go home. Let's go see a boxing match. Because I'm a fan. I like boxing. Fan of boxers. So let's go see Miguel Cotto. We're going to fight from Puerto Rico. And say, no, I want to go to the Harvard Bar in Watertown. And say, my friend's waiting for me. And he got an argument there when his friend got an argument when this big guy show off to defend, and he stick with him, and they're starting fighting each other, but both of them go down. He punch back, whatever happened exactly. He fall the ice and hit the head. But what happened is, he should let it go. No. He go finish it. and crack his skull. He go in coma, never wake up, 25 years prison. But he got a good record, he's a nice guy. His 10 seconds life change. A great guy. If he maybe he would go a day when boxing never always happened to him. Maybe, but don't know. Jaron's talking. Remember him, Bob? Jaron? And they give it 7 years, 3.5 inside, like manslaughter. So, and that can happen to me because my mom say, don't do it. I continue to listen, mama. Continue here. I met back my first date, Sonia, was my wife today. And she's a believer, a Lord. Very believer, Lord. Hallelujah. And she told me, well, we have to date, but you know that I would not live with you because I would not be in fornication with you together. We got to get married. Married. I said, okay. But you have to come to Christ because you like salsa, you like party, you like all that kind of stuff, and I don't like that kind of stuff. He said, oh. Okay, I started to go to church. Best time to go to church. But just business church, I'm not doing my heart to Lord. It's different. This lady, I go to my sister's church, and they told me, this lady sold me and I left that day, and my sister in Sioux Falls, and he says, who's that guy? And he said, that's my brother. I need to talk to that guy and say, he said, well, your brother. He said, why? Lord, tell me a prophecy, something that I had to tell him. So my sister called me and put the phone. And he said, hey, my sister, this is somebody who want to talk to you. And say, and she told me talking Spanish, speak from Guatemala. And say, Lord told me, if you not surrender to the Lord and you still running, something bad gonna happen to you. And he said, oh. And I just get angry. Just remember my back with the high school legalistic. He said, you are legalistic, you guys. That's why I hate you all, you guys. That's why you guys like Fidel Castro, like Cuba, always the dictator. And oh, and she almost feels bad. I feel bad later, but I just say that, yeah. Well, I get married with Sonia, my wife, last year. Come back. She stayed in Puerto Rico a couple of weeks, moving stuff. We get back. The same day that I going to pick her in the airport, I was a little late. I called my sister, Ruthie, pick her. So I go to my gym studio, Taekwondo. And I got a lot of envelopes, graduation, because I get married. And cool. And I got this package from Puerto Rico. But I was so rushing, grabbing me. When I walked outside my gym, it was 14 cops, DCI, FBI. Not a Cherikov, not a city, DCI, FBI. 14 cops point to me, everybody, on the ground. We go, hey, pause. And I just, man, I feel so defeat so bad. No karate, no taekwondo, nothing can help me there. Nothing. Well, it's a package to open. They got some vitamins stuff. And they thought there was steroids. And they thought to investigate me because they thinking that was a drug dealer steroids for MMA fighters. And everything comes from the post office is federal. So that's why they are there. And so I cry and say, man, I never get trouble in the big city, Puerto Rico. I never get trouble in New York City, but I get trouble in Clark, South Dakota. How all this can happen to me? I can't explain that. Man. Hallelujah. So, but Lord, it was with me. Go to the case, go to the court, they do investigation, everything, it dropped. But they go to my house. In my house, I got a little hormone, testosterone. You know, it's a steroid. It expired, but it was in my house. And they caught me there. Everything dropped, caught me there. There you go, we go core. I met Preacher Man. Pray for me a lot. Larry bring me here, he prayed for me a lot. And he told me, believe, have faith, and he gave me strength and pray for me. And then a lot of pastors helped me out, but Preacher Man gave me the extra mile. He's praying in his church. And thank you all, you guys. Thanks for Lord. And so we go to court like a few times. Case move. There's the final day. I had to plead no contest because the bottle is in my house. And it's expired, but it was in my house, no matter what. So Larry, Master Hackens, Rose Hackens, we're friends together. And the pastor of Assembly of God and Clark, we get together, we pray. I call preaching man, and he pray on the phone with me. And he told me, Lord going to honor you. He didn't know the pastor. Lord going to honor me. How is Lord going to honor me? They cut me that. I'm done. They want to give me at least 30 days in jail. Least. I go to the court and call Michael Sanchez. Oh, my blood pressure. Oh. I go to the court there. And we sit down, his honor. And the lawyers, I was talking very high about me, everything great, but you know how lawyers sometimes, they make the big story of lies, you know. They're good in that kind of stuff. But the prosecutor, no. The prosecutor is the one going to knock you out, right? Oh, there's a prosecutor turn now. He stand up. He bring a whole paper. Well, we do investigation, Michael Sanchez, the DCI and the FBI in Puerto Rico. They do investigation about me and my background in the island. But they bring the file. I never have criminal record, nothing. Michael Sanchez, he's a great person, sport, former national champion in Puerto Rico, everything, all the good stuff. And he was talking very hype about me, the prosecutor. And he said, and Michael Sanchez, he's helping Taekwondo, South Dakota State, and I don't recommend him. Jail time. And then my lawyer looked at me. He looked to the judge. The judge, like, and I said, "Oh, Señor, hallelujah! Oh, Señor, hallelujah! Hallelujah!" And then the lawyer told me, "In 30 years, I've been doing this. I never see a prosecutor defend my client." Hallelujah! Praise Lord! Woo! Hallelujah! Woo! Hallelujah! Oh, there we go. Now the judge is going to sentence me. Now it's your turn. It's not over. Now he's going to sentence me. And he said, Michael Sanchez, I heard great stuff about you and great stuff about everything. But, he said, uh-oh. Now he said, but. You break the law when that bottle in your hand. You should be example of the sport of the community in town here. What you doing with the kids. So I'm going to give you probation. And I'm going to give 50 hours of community service to going in different school, wherever we send to you, and tell the young guys, wrestler guys, whoever, the steroids is a consequence. And you say, thanks, Lord. You just open the door and tell how Christ big is. Hallelujah! Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. So I told the Lord, if you help me this, Lord, I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. And so this year, I dedicate, we have one of the biggest tournaments I said before, Clark, Taekwondo. I ordered 240 medals, Taekwondo. I bring one example here. And this medal, and the backside, but this next weekend, you guys very welcome, it'll be the high school Jim Clark, team from Puerto Rico, team from Mexico, for over 150, 200 players. It's one of the greatest for South Dakota. And I put a logo on the backside Taekwondo. But that's okay. But the more important here in the backside, he say, I can do all things through Christ who will give me strength. Philippians 4:13. Hallelujah! Yeah. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord, guys! You know, and I dedicated a tournament. We're going to help some missionary people there. And they say, man, a lot of people in the tournament, they got some, a lot of problems. Like, this man today was talking, and the assistant pastor today was talking, that it's not about us. But I know a lot of people in the tournament who have some problems. But when their kids or whoever wins this medal, and they see, cool, and they got some problems, say, I can do all things through Christ who give me strength. Those words, and each sport guys, each one fighters, is going to change their life.
Amen.
It will change their life. It take over. But I want to dedicate this medal for the person who also, besides Lord, helped me and give me the extra mile, yeah. Pastor Dwight. Yeah. I want to say one more thing. You say today, mean words. We got our battles. And a Christian, we sometimes stop praying, stop reading Bible. We start to get weak. And I learned that when I used to compete and training, I had to go to the mountains surrounding and training hard and get ready for the championships. You know, that's the way our Lord is. We pray, we get strong and strong. And either sometimes we get knocked down. We come here and pray, and he's now knocked down. His house is staying up. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, you Satan, you're right there. And you go, hey, Jesus Christ, amen, hallelujah. We're going to be in Omer Jesus. We're going to be in Omer Jesus. Bless you, brother. God bless you guys.
You can turn to John chapter 11, and if you're familiar with the Bible, you'll know that that's about Lazarus. Give Martha a hand. She needs a good boost today. Bless you, Martha. You know, about a year and a half ago, we started talking about the body of Christ. I can still remember the service when I just felt that I needed to release you to do the work of the ministry. I want you to understand something, and if I can get that in your head, you're not here just to support a church. You're more valuable than your billfold or your purse. You are called by God to do the work of the ministry, and that calling has never stopped. Pastors are not called to do the work for you. They're called to teach you how to work and to work with you. A lot of people ask me why we do the Friday morning breakfast. Why does pastor get up at 5:30 and come to church and cook for 40 to 60 people every Friday morning? Because we're learning something. We're learning servanthood. The pastor is supposed to be the leading servant in the church. A lot of pastors don't believe that. Jesus said what? I did not come to be served, but I came to serve. And the greatest in the kingdom will be who? The servant of all. And so ministry is serving. Say that. Ministry is serving. If you're teaching, running a Bible study, doing the things of God, that's serving. The problem with serving is you have to have something within you to give away. And as Kirk was going through his thing, and Stephen was going through the things this morning, there are two kinds of disconnects that we need to look at. One is, I don't want to be connected. There are people that go to church that never want to be connected because it might demand something of them. It might ask them to do something. And then there are people who don't know how to be connected. How do I plug into this? What do I do? And then when you think that, you may say, well, what I really want to do, it seems like somebody else is already doing it. Every one of us needs to be mentoring somebody. If you have a job in the church, you should have somebody alongside you that you're teaching. If you don't have a job in the church and you don't want a job on the church, then all you're doing is sitting on the premises. Love the way you're shouting. We're supposed to be standing on the promises. And so we're going today into an area that I've preached on before, but probably not in this sense. Have you ever stopped to think that sometimes God takes some time to answer your prayers? Why is that? And why is this story in the Bible anyway? Why does somebody send somebody to Jesus and say, my brother Lazarus is sick, and Jesus was about 2 miles away, and he didn't go? Hello? But he waited. And he looks at his disciples and says, this sickness is not unto death, but unto the glory of God. I have a man from Wilmont. How many know where Wilmont is? Actually, I think he's from Summit. Forgive me. That's worse. Storm City. And I run into him on Saturdays when Judy's having her day in the mall in Watertown. Almost invariably, I'll see him. And he'll ask me the same question. Why did Jesus say Lazarus was sleeping when he was really dead? And that's fine. And I said, call Pastor Kirk. I said, because in those days, they called death sleeping, and also Jesus knew he was going to wake up. Well, that didn't answer him. So last Saturday, a week ago, I'm walking Fluffy around, puppy, and he's not a mangy mutt either, so quit it. And so I'm walking Fluffy, and he's sniffing every tire. You know how dogs are. And here's the guy who comes driving his car down. He stops, rolls down his window. Why was Lazarus just said to be sleeping? And I look at him, and I said, I think maybe Jesus was going to wake him up, and besides that, they called that sleeping. Maybe it's because of the resurrection. Well, Kirk will have an answer for me tomorrow. Why did Jesus wait, 3 days, 2 days? So what I want to do this morning is give you a few verses. Maybe you probably looked at these. Finally, Jesus in verse 14, and Jesus said to them plainly, because the disciples said if he's sleeping, he's going to wake up. Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And then he said something weird. He said, I'm glad for your sake I wasn't there, but that you might believe. Now, if you've listened to Bill Johnson at all from Bethel in Redding, California, you'll realize that his commission to the kids in his college, and the commission to his church is heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, cleanse a leper. I don't know if the widow of Nain's son had been resurrected yet, but there was a lesson here for the disciples. There was a teaching here that Jesus was going to do. And it was going to involve the supernatural power that the Father and the Holy Spirit had invested in Jesus. There's one thing different, as Michael was talking about religion or Christianity, relationship or going to church. There's one thing different about Christianity that you have to put in your mind. Everything about Jesus Christ was supernatural. Everything about Christianity is supernatural. It's not done with the natural. And when you come to Christ, God just gives his super with your natural. And so there was a lesson that the disciples were learning about raising the dead. Now look at me. You have the supernatural ability invested in you to heal the sick, cleanse a leper, raise the dead, and cast out demons. It's not something we go looking for. It's just something that if you walk on somebody, by somebody dead on the sidewalk, raise them. If God tells you to, and that's one thing we need to hear the voice of the Spirit in, stepping out in some of these supernatural things, we need to hear God say, do it. And if God says do it, it's going to be done. Amen. Love the way you're shouting. You know, why not be the mortician's worst enemy? Wouldn't it be nice if you lived in a town where the mortician went bankrupt? Sorry, Cahills. And so he gets there. He goes. Martha greets him. Verse 21. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And Jesus said, your brother will rise again. And Martha said, I know, in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he looks at Marilyn and said, do you believe that? Right down to the bottom line. And Martha said, yeah, he'll rise in the resurrection. I was sitting at the table yesterday morning early. Doesn't matter if it was early or late, but I was sitting at the table and the Holy Spirit began to just start downloading. There are two things that hinder Christians from stepping into the fullness of God today. Those two things are living in the past or living in the future. I want you to think on this. Don't turn me off yet. Some people can never get out of the past. They'll hang there the rest of their life. They'll be thinking, what if, or if only, if I wouldn't have done that, or this wouldn't have happened. Look at me. If you're living for Jesus today and your life is about him, you're exactly in the place he wants you to be. Amen. Come on. And other people are so far ahead. All they think about, and praise God for the rapture. Man, thank God. Beam me up, Scotty, anytime you want. But you can't live there. You can't live there. You can't only focus on Jesus is coming. And until he comes, I'm going to sit in my rocking chair and rock myself old. There's a job to be done. Jesus said, your brother's going to rise. And Martha immediately went to the future. She immediately went to the place where this is going to be years down the road, not just a few minutes away. It's exciting. Do you know something? It's exciting to live in the now. It's exciting to know walking out that door, the next person you meet may need Jesus. Or the person you're sitting next to. Just take a moment, ask him, are you a believer? Just turn him, just ask him. Huh? Are you saved? Are you born again? Are you living for Jesus? You know, we need to come to the place we live for the moment. Because if you've been serving God for a while, you've missed God at times. And I have. I remember being in such a hurry. My phone, I'm driving by a nursing home, and I just feel the Holy Spirit say, stop in there. And I'm busy, and I'm going somewhere, and I'm in a hurry with no place to go, basically. Nothing important to do, but I'll do it tomorrow. I get home, phone rings, so-and-so just passed away. God knew she was going to go. What a beautiful lady. She was 103 years old. And all I had to do was stop and go and give her a hug and pray with her. I didn't know she was dying. God did. You know, you think you learn, but I've done it more than once. Everything you think about may not be able to do tomorrow. Especially when it comes from God. There's a reason he talks to you. And we can all stop at the nursing home. I'll be in one this afternoon. Guy's dying of cancer. Walked into church for 10 seconds and left because he was in pain Easter Sunday. But a while back I walked in and he said, Pastor, I'm ready to accept Jesus. And he accepted the Lord that day. This afternoon, maybe I'll be saying goodbye to Mick. Maybe I'll see him next week. It doesn't matter anymore. He's in the hands of the Lord. Healing would be wonderful. Live in the now. If you're raising kids, I remember going to a lady in Wilmot and talking with her a while back, and her son was going to graduate in 2 years, and her daughter was going to graduate in 2 years and leave home, and all she could talk about, I don't know what I'm going to do in 2 years. I don't know what I'm going to do in 2 years. I don't know what I'm going to do in 10 years. My kid's in second grade. He only got 10 more years of school. Praise God! And I looked at her finally. I said, you're going to miss the next 2 years of your daughter's life because that's all you can think about. Enjoy the moment. Smell the coffee. And we don't use Folgers. No. But what a life just to bypass it because I'm going to be in the past and I won't take a look at the future. I mean, I am taking a look at the future. Live in the now. Right now. Right now, give that child a hug. Let him know you love him. Let him know you're going to miss him. But let him also know that you enjoy being with them now. Today. That's what God wants you to do. God knows when you're going to heaven. He's got a place ready for you. You don't have to hurry it. You look at me like a cow looking at a new gate. I've never seen that before. So, Jesus goes, Mary comes. And the miracle is beginning. There's a process here. And Jesus looks at Mary and says, and Martha and says, where have you laid him? And the people have all different kind of ideas, you know. He wants to go weep at the tomb, and he wants to do this, and oh, how he loved him. And couldn't a man who had all these powers raise him, kept him from dying, and all these things. Now here comes the test. They go to the tomb. How many of you are really willing to step into this gospel thing with both feet? How many of you are just willing to lay everything on the line, even if at times nothing happens and you get laughed at? Love the way you do that. You know something? If you've stepped out in faith, there are times that you failed. Nothing happened, you saw. Not a failure. Just didn't happen at that moment. Anybody know what I'm talking about? How many just knew when you prayed for somebody they were going to be healed? But it didn't happen. Do you feel bad? Sure. But don't take it personally. You weren't the one to heal them anyway. So Jesus is setting the stage for something. Martha and Mary don't have a clue. Their brother's dead. So they go to the grave, and then Jesus looks at Martha and says, get the stone out of the way. Now that's a different story. It'd be like you just burying somebody and ask somebody if they got a shovel. Bob's backhoe. Bob's resurrection service. And Martha has a logical answer. Hot, humid. Jesus, by now... Now, I've got to see if I can remember the word. There's a big word for it, and I've only learned one big word in my life. I think it's putrefactive odor or putrefactive. You know that one, Kirk?
Yeah, I can't think of it all.
Thanks. I would never known if I wouldn't ask. They have a putrefactive, you stink. He stinks by now. You know, there are times God asks us how much faith you got. You know something? He's not asking because he wants to know. He's asking because you need to know. How much faith? How much do you believe? Don't think for a moment I didn't think I could end up with two broken arms and two broken legs ministering to Michael. Larry warned me, don't say nothing that's going to tick him off. Do you see how quick that could have happened? God will bring you to places in your walk where only he can do what he's asked you to do. Only he can do it. Because if you could do it without him, you wouldn't need him. And that's the interesting part about this gospel message. Christianity is the only religion where the God died for the people. Think about it. Jesus died for us. He conquered death, hell, and the grave so you and I can walk around conquering death, hell, and the grave, setting the captives free, bringing freedom to them, allowing them to have a life. You know, how many times has somebody looked at you and said, get a life? We're trying to give you one. Come on, man. We're trying to get you to live. We're trying to get you to walk. We're trying to get you to be physically, emotionally, spiritually alive. And people fight it. That's what it's all about. You who were dead in trespasses and sins, he has made what? Alive. Michael was dead, he just didn't know it. Nobody told him. Didn't need the bullets to prove he was dead, he just needed the Bible. It's true. But he stinks, Lord. Get yourself in a place at times where you have to deal with the stink. He said, what are you talking about? I had a pastor friend, he's now superintendent of the Assemblies of God in Minnesota. His name is Clarence St. John. Every once in a while, Clarence would say, I got to go down and find some place where there's smoke. I got to get some smoke. You'd say, why? I need to find somebody who needs Jesus. I need to find someone who needs Jesus. I need to get out of the sealed-in area of the church and rub shoulders with somebody who needs God. Amen. Got to go smell the smoke. Got to go where the stink is. And Jesus looks at her and says this, Martha, did I not tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Michael's a witness of the glory of God, but so is every one of you who's living for Jesus Christ. Every one of you. And now there are people who, before they believe, are going to need to see the glory of God. I was listening to an evangelist in Watertown by the name of Glenn Shepherd. Glenn was telling us, I think Kirk mentioned it, that they put this pastor in prison in Nepal. You can't go to Nepal and preach the gospel. But they're doing it. They're seeing millions of people saved. And so Glenn said, we got a prayer meeting together and prayed that God would release him from prison to be with his family. And so Glenn went into Nepal and went to see this pastor. And he said, Pastor, we're praying that God releases you. And the prisoner or the prisoner said, No, stop. Stop. I'm not leaving here till God releases me. I'm not leaving here till the prisoners are saved and born again. A few months later, they kicked him out of jail.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah.
They threw him out. Every prisoner was saved but one. And they told him, well, you got to get out of here. You're messing up our prison. If you're going to prison, mess the place up. That's what life is about. If the devil is comfortable enough to torment you and hang with you, then something's wrong. Think about it for a moment. When Paul was in prison in 1st or 2nd Timothy, chained to the guards, who was really captive? You can't tell me Paul was a captive to these guards. These people were preached at day and night. They were looking for relief. They were having an Excedrin headache. Did I not tell you, if you would believe, you'll see the glory of God? Don't let the mountain speak to you. You speak to the mountain. You know, every once in a while, God's giving you words just to speak into somebody to build them up. I believe Tony is a man of God. And I believe the things he's going through, Satan is just trying to bring him down. He don't take that place. It's his place. It's your place, men and women of God. It's your place, young people, to stand and see the glory of God as you move, as you minister, as you walk, as you breathe. I believe it. And you're released to demonstrate it. One more point and I'm done. Close the Bible. Does it mean nothing? Does it mean nothing? Lazarus, come forth. Somebody said he had to say Lazarus or everybody dead in that place would come out. Right through the rocks. Lazarus came forth. Now here's the church's part. You have a place in people's salvation. You have a place in people coming to Christ and getting a new life. Jesus looked at them and said, release him and let him go. Lazarus came up bound, totally bound. You know, they wrapped him just like they did Jesus. They wrapped him tight. He's not being able to move. It's the church's part. It's God's part to save him. It's our part through the Holy Spirit to free him and release him and minister to him. The battle's not over when someone accepts Christ. We're still in a battle until they're free. Until God has just wonderfully freed them so they can get out and do the ministry that God has called them to do. Somebody had a vision of that. They wrote, my chains are gone. I've been set free. You'll never know how free you are until you realize how much bondage you are in. You'll never know what a dead church is until you go to a live one. And we're getting there. It's true. You'll never know. Now I'll get in trouble for that. You never know how bad a Chevy is until you drive a Ford. And I just drove a 2013 King Ranch with navigation and the whole nine yards. And I'll be bringing it home tomorrow. For Ray. What a rotten deal. You know something? Life is great in Jesus Christ. Amen. It's great. Absolutely great. And wonderful. Look at all these lovely people. I can honestly tell you, and I'm done, I never nearly had much fun in the bar when I was there. Not even close. You know, we'd go fishing and somebody'd have to tell me how good a time I had. It's no fun in northern Minnesota the second week in May falling in the drink. Rainy Lake was cold. But every year I'd go in, I'd be working on the motor, trying to lift it up, get the line untangled because I couldn't see where it was. Phew. This life is great. And you know something? It can be better. It can absolutely be better. Because Jesus loves you. And your destination is secure. And God's purpose is written down for you. And his design for your life is right before you. Step into it. The most miserable people in the world are those that have one foot in the church and one foot in hell. Get them both in God. Walk it out. Stand with me, will you? You know, it's a dangerous time around here. It's a dangerous time when the pastor's excited to see Sunday come. Because we do not have a clear picture of what's coming next. You know, I think Bill Gaither wrote a song, if it keeps getting better and better than this, I don't know what I'm going to do. This is wonderful. You folks are wonderful. We love you. Even you people from Watertown, is only 55 miles here on a Sunday. Bless you. Seriously. What a great time just to let your light shine and let God do his thing through you. We have opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to shine for Jesus.